sure I just have this right. The first thing is that Jack has not only become a standalone Linux, but it seems to be enjoying a lot of popularity on OS X, where it has become a de facto standard, not for writing applications, but for users who want Wire to get different applications.
And in the meantime, Stefan has formally jacked DMP to Windows, which, although that work is still a little bit rudimentary as far as a trivial install and so on, it does offer some hope that it may end up playing the same kind of role on Windows. And when it happens, it opens up the possibility of actually porting more software to those platforms and benefiting from that in every way that we can. I'm not sure that we do benefit from it, but if we can benefit, then we'll be able to. I'd also like to cite the example of Pure Data, which, as I sort of browse around on online forums and I read, audio technology magazines, has clearly been gaining quite a lot of ground on Mac's MSP over the last 3 or 4 years, to the point now where I think it's widely acknowledged that it actually does most of what Mac's MSP does and then a whole lot more aside. It's unfortunate that the language that Mipple and Puppet started got separated from its twins earlier after birth. But nevertheless, the fact that Pure Data is so powerful, is open source, and is actually acknowledged as being capable of doing all this stuff, I think is a really great testament to the power of the open source process. It's not Linux specific, but it is very much open source specific. Finally, I'm quite encouraged by the fact that GStreamer now has Jack IO built into it. Not in a release version yet, but it will be up very soon. And also by the fact that people involved with desktop Linux seem very interested in pushing for a much more unified audio API. That yes, although it's another example of solving the problem of too many APIs by adding another API, nevertheless does offer some hope that people might be able to start writing consumer and desktop applications on Linux, and actually have a very clear answer to the question of which audio API should I be using. And when they make that choice, they really haven't cut themselves off from anything. Right now, if they choose to use OSS, and somebody says, well, can we use your application and pipe it through Jack? The answer once again is, well, sort of, but not really. So that will hopefully change that situation quite a bit. We also are beginning to see libraries and frameworks emerge that offer us the ability to start doing a lot of the things that people want out of things like Ableton Live. There's still a lot of work that has to be done to actually make that happen. But we have apps already, like FreeCycle, that can do very, very interesting beat slicing tasks, for example. And the kind of functionality that they provide is really built. LV2, Lattice One version 2, might bring in a new era of sexy native plugins. How's that for a pitch for it? Sexy native plugins. The things that happen when you're flying. Or it might not, because in theory, DSSI was capable of doing this, and as yet, we don't have lots of sexy native plugins for that either. We also have a whole bunch, as we saw before, a bunch of sophisticated applications that have actually stabilized quite nicely and are really at the point now of adding functionality rather than trying to figure out how to do a bunch of basic stuff. And I think that's possibly the most important point there. The rest of these things are all, how things will evolve and expand, but we do actually have a bunch of applications that are really quite powerful already. So, what do I do on Monday? This is from a report by a famous radical education writer called John Holt, who went to a conference and lots of teachers came up to him afterwards and said, well, your talk was really good, but what do we do on Monday? The first thing is to sleep, which is very important for too many people who write software but don't do enough of it. The second most important thing is it's really critical that people who are, particularly people who are thinking of starting new projects, stop underestimating how complex writing media applications is. The Unix environment provided a really fabulous framework for dealing with, for creating applications that deal with essentially static data. And
the task of writing applications that deal with huge quantities of real-time, essentially streamed data, is at least an order of magnitude more complex than dealing with presenting, for example, information from a database about customer sales. And yet, time and time again, you see people leaping in, thinking that writing even a small application is a trivial task. Even something like lending a little music player is something where, again, it's very easy to get 80% of the functionality that you want very quickly, as I found a couple of weeks ago when I decided to drop it and rewrite iTunes in Python. And, you know, within a few days, I had almost all of what I wanted, except I then realized I would never get all of what I wanted for about 3 years. And you see this happen again and again, that people think, well, you know, I'm just going to write a little app to do this, and they just do not comprehend the full scope of what is involved in providing what they are imagining. We need to figure out how to share metadata and tempo and media information. One of the critical things that is missing from the cooperation that Jack has made possible is that although programs can have their transport controls synced up together, they can't share information about musical structures, about musical time, about musical transformation. And there isn't anything in Jack right now that makes that possible. I think people need to really pay attention to plugin frameworks like Laswell version 2, ESSI, and Vamp, which I think all offer lots of prospects for creating much more powerful and useful plugins that do very different kinds of things than the plugins we've gotten used to so far. And I think we also need to very strongly support, and I don't really know what I mean by support here, but encourage, pay for, cheer on, use, fix, hack the development of system configuration tools and utilities, because at the moment that's still a very weak area on Linux. Most naive users who need to get a system up for doing music on are faced with an almost insurmountable task. And there are, I have seen the emergence of some new kinds of applications recently. I think SoundJuicer is one that I'm a big fan of. It's a GNOME application. If you like KDE, I'm sure there's a KDE equivalent. But it's a beautiful little application that only does one thing, very much in the Unix tradition of very focused tools. It has a very simple, very, very straightforward interface. Its task is eased by the fact that it doesn't have to interact with anything else. But it's a great example, I think, of the kind of tool that we need more of on Linux that is actually really catering to what users want, with the emphasis on users who really don't know anything at all. There is this quote that I came across a couple of months ago that leapt out at me on the page, and I thought, that is so incredibly deep. The power of an operating system comes not from the applications that run it, but from the relationship between those applications. And I thought, wow, that is so true. The problem with it is that it's spoken like only a real Unix hacker could, and that's because it comes from like a real Unix. My experience, the problem with this quote is it works for me, and I bet it works for at least half the people in the room. But I just don't think it lines up with what most computer users want, and I don't think it lines up with much of their experience either. Most people who use computers use an application to accomplish a task. And as I mentioned earlier, if the application they're using can't do the thing they want, or worse still, if they can't find out how to make it do what they want, they conclude it can't be done. They don't say, oh, is there another application that I could use in conjunction with this one, and then I can get my task accomplished? And I'm not saying that nobody thinks that, but I'm saying that the vast majority of people, I think that way, and the applications they use now, the operating systems they use now, tend to reinforce that viewpoint. And I think we've spent the last several years building a software ecosystem that is based on the idea behind this quote, which I still fully support. I'm just not sure it's totally appropriate for all the people that we're trying to write software for. So, I don't know really if I have any conclusions. But if I have to put some down, first of all, read your applications are hard to write.
it's very difficult to make money from multimedia applications. And that doesn't matter whether you're running open source or proprietary ones. A lot of people don't know in what dire straits the audio technology industry is in right now. There are a few exceptions here and there, but the vast majority of audio tech companies, whether they make hardware or software, do not make very much money at all. If you want an example of this from recent years, if you look at the way that both Steinberg and Mackie have been sold, in Steinberg's case several times, for very, very little money. The people who create this stuff are not worth a lot of money. And that their applications don't make very much money, their applications don't pay for a lot of people to work on them. And so the idea in the open source world that we're somehow totally different because there's hardly any of us and we don't get paid, you know, we're different, but not that different. Open source development has built very large systems. The Linux operating system is one example of that. And so it'd be silly to say, oh, you just couldn't possibly write something as big as Pro Tools with open source, because it's already been proven that you can, if not by Linux, then by R. But I would like to raise the point that it's not totally clear to me now that open source is very good at finishing off the last 20%. We've come an awful long way in several years, and we provide a bunch of applications that are very cool and do a bunch of interesting things. But that last 20%, it's not so clear to me that we've got the framework, the motivations, whatever it else is that we need to finish off the last 20%, if we even agree on what the last 20% is. And because we don't necessarily agree on it, and because our set of users is not necessarily all, you know, agreed upon, you might even raise the question whether any of this matters at all. And with that, I will stop.